Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day.
Today we'll be learning Hilchot Mila Perek Bet. The last perek was about the parameters of the obligation in Brit Mila. Who exactly is obligated and when is it performed? And in this perek, the Rambam moves on to the details of how a Brit is done, both the usual procedure on a weekday and the special laws governing Brit Mila on Shabbat. Halacha Aleph starts us off by addressing who can be a mohel and what implement may be used to perform the milah. Hakol ksherim lamul, v'afilu he'arel ve'eved ve'isha ve'katan molin b'makom she'ein ish, aval goy lo yamul klal, v'imal eino tzarich lachzor ulmulo shnia. A non-Jew may not perform a brit milah, but everyone else can, even an arel, a woman, and a child. The Shulchan Aruch rules that a mumar, a Jew who has completely abandoned Torah and mitzvot, is the equivalent of a non-Jew in this regard. Similarly, according to the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, the only kind of arel who is allowed to perform a brit is one whose brothers died after being circumcised, the case from the end of the last perek, not one who willfully ignores the mitzvah of brit milah. If a non-Jew does the brit, for example, a doctor at a hospital, then the Rambam says the baby does not require another brit, by which he seems to mean that there is no need for hatafat dam brit, as it is impossible to circumcise twice. The Ramah, however, just as he ruled in the case of brit milah performed at night, requires hatafat dam brit in this case. Perhaps the most interesting part of this psak of the Rambam is that a woman may serve as a mohel. He adds that this should only be done b'makom she'ein ish, when there is no man available to do it. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah records a machloket about the validity of a milah performed by a woman, based on the source of who can be a mohel. Rav learns from the pasuk of ve'ata et b'riti tishmor that only one obligated in the mitzvah of brit milah can perform a milah, and this excludes women. Rav Yochanan, however, learns from the pasuk of Himol Yimol that anyone who is circumcised may perform a milah, and women are considered circumcised from birth. As a proof that a woman can be a mohel, Rav Yochanan refers to the story of Tzipora, wife of Moshe Rabbeinu, who circumcised her son Eliezer, according to the story in Parshat Shmot. Rav explains, however, that the psukim there can be understood to mean that Tzipora didn't perform the act of circumcision herself, but rather handled the matter by finding a man to do it. Tosfot accept the opinion of Rav, and the Ramah rules in accordance with this view that a woman cannot serve as a mohel. But the Rif accepts the opinion of Rav Yochanan, with the qualification, due to the debate on this point, that a woman should only perform a milah if there is no qualified man who can do so. The Rambam here, as he often does, follows the psak of the Rif. Continuing in Halacha Aleph, Uvakol molin, afilu bitzor uvischuchit uvachol davar shekoret, velo yamul bikrumit shalkane, mipnei asakana, umitzva min hamuvchar lamul bevarzel, bein besakin, bein bemisparayim, venagu kol Yisrael besakin. The milah can be carried out with any sharp implement, except something which can splinter, like wood or a reed, which may pose a danger to the baby. It is preferable and customary to use a metal knife, just as Avram Avinu took a metal knife when Hashem commanded him to go with his son to Akedat Yitzchak. Halacha bet, keitzad mohalin, chotchin et kol ha'or ha'chofe et ha'tara, ad shetitkale kol ha'tara, v'achar kach por'in et ha'krum ha'rach shelemata min ha'or b'tziporen, u'machziro l'chan u'lechan ad shiyira'e b'sar ha'tara. V'achar kach motzeitz ha'mila ad shiyitze ha'dam mimekomot rechokim, kidei shelo yavo lidei sakana. V'chol mal she'eino motzeitz ma'avirin oto. V'achar shemotzeitz noten aleha ispelanit o ritiyah v'chayotze bahem. The milah consists of three stages, after which a bandage is applied. The first is the cutting of the foreskin, the orla. The second, known as priya, involves tearing the thin membrane directly under the cut orla and pulling it away on each side to expose the flesh underneath. In Halacha Dalet, the Rambam clarifies that the priya is as critical to the performance of the mitzvah of milah as the cutting of the orla itself. Mal velo para tamila ki ilu lo mal. The third stage of the milah is called mitzitza, and in its original form, this required the mohel to suck out blood from the spot of the incision using his mouth and spit it out. Unlike the cutting of the orla and the priya, mitzitza is not part of the mitzvah of milah. Its purpose, according to Chazal, is to avoid danger to the life of the baby, which can result from accumulation of blood. As there were mohalim even at the time who weren't careful to perform mitzitza, the Gemara writes, and the Rambam quotes here, that anyone who doesn't do mitzitza is banned from continuing to practice as a mohel. Chazal did not elaborate on the exact danger that mitzitza is meant to avoid. Modern medicine considers oral mitzitza itself to be a much greater risk to the health of the child than the cutting of the orla, as it requires direct contact between the mouth of the mohel and an open wound on the baby's body. The Chatam Sofer, among the leading gedolim of Hungary in the late 18th and early 19th centuries, felt that even if we need to defer to Chazal regarding the necessity of mitzitza, it need not be performed orally, and the blood can be removed using a clean sponge or a similar type of material capable of drawing fluid out of the body. Many contemporaries of the Chatam Sofer rejected this leniency, some even claiming that mitzitza bepeh is not only meant to avoid danger, but represents an integral part of the mila procedure, somewhat akin to hatafat dam brit, and cannot be skipped or replaced. Even some of the Chatam Sofer students, among them the Maharam Sheik, insisted that his psak allowing the use of a sponge for mitzitza was not a general heter, but was limited to the specific case in which he issued it, due to unique circumstances in that case which increased the risk of spreading disease. A possible solution to perform mitzitza bepeh while avoiding infection is to use a tube or pipette. The mohel places one end of the pipette in his mouth and sucks at it, siphoning blood into the other end. Many postgim throughout the decades since this solution arose in the late 19th century have enthusiastically endorsed this idea, while others, even today, reject it as not genuine mitzitza bepeh as Chazal required. In practice, most mohalim nowadays use a pipette or some similar implement so that the mouth is involved in the mitzitza without coming in direct contact with the wound, while some mohalim do mitzitza bepeh directly after rinsing out the mouth well with an antibacterial mouthwash. Halacha Gimel. Yesh tzitzin ma'akvin et hamila, v'yesh tzitzin she'en ma'akvin. Ketzad, im nish'ar me'or ha'orla, or ha'chofe et rov govha shel atara, harei ze arel kamot shehaya, v'ze ha'or hu tzitza ma'akev. V'im lo nish'ar menu ele ma'at she'eno chofe rov govha shel atara, harei ze tzitz she'eno ma'akev. The pieces of the foreskin, the tzitzin, which are meant to be cut in the brit milah, are of two types. The tzitzin hama'akvin, those which must be cut in order for the mitzvah to be fulfilled, and the tzitzin she'enon ma'akvin, those which should be cut as a form of hidur mitzvah, but the milah is valid even if they are not cut. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbat says that as long as the mohel is involved in the act of milah, he should ideally cut all the tzitzin, but if he stops and pulls his hands away, then he must go back to cut any tzitzin hama'akvin that he missed, as these are critical for the milah to be valid, but he doesn't go back to cut any of the tzitzin she'enon ma'akvin. Most Rishonim, including Rashi on that Gemara, understand that this is referring to a milah on Shabbat. Since the milah is really a melacha, which should be forbidden on Shabbat, but the mitzvah of milah pushes aside this prohibition, the mohel may cut whatever is necessary for the mitzvah. He may even do the hidur mitzvah of cutting the tzitzim she'enon ma'akvin as long as he is still involved in the act of milah. But once he pulls his hands away, if the essential mitzvah has been done, he is not permitted to do any more melacha on Shabbat just to perform the hidur mitzvah of cutting the tzitzim she'enon ma'akvin. But what if the milah is taking place on a weekday? Then, according to these Rishonim, the mohel may and perhaps should go back even for just the tzitzim she'enon ma'akvin. Why not fulfill the mitzvah in the best possible manner, even if he has already pulled away his hands? But the Rambam here in Halacha Dalid quotes this Gemara as a general din, applying not only on Shabbat, but on any day of the week. In Halacha Vav, he brings it again in reference to Shabbat, proving that here in Halacha Dalid, he is not speaking only of Shabbat. The Shulchan Aruch accepts the psak of the Rambam, while the Rama sides with Rashi and most other Rishonim. What is the rationale behind the Rambam's psak? Why not go back to cut the tzitzim she'enon ma'akvin when there is no concern of melacha b'Shabbat at stake? The Griz, in his Chidushim on the Rambam in Hilchot Chanukah, explains in the name of his grandfather, the Beit Halevi, that the Rambam's psak here is based on a fundamental idea about the concept of hidur mitzvah. Hidur mitzvah, according to the Rambam, does not have any meaning on its own. It is only meaningful as an appendage to the main part of the mitzvah. While the mitzvah is performed, one has the opportunity to do it in a mehudar manner. But once the mitzvah is completed, there is no meaning or value to doing a hidur mitzvah as an independent act. Since cutting the tzitzim she'enan ma'akvin represents a hidur mitzvah, it is only meaningful to cut them together with the tzitzim ha'ma'akvin in a single act of milah. Once the mohel cuts the tzitzim ha'ma'akvin and pulls his hands away, thereby completing the essential mitzvah of milah, there is no point in cutting the tzitzim she'enan ma'akvin by themselves. I mentioned that the Griz gives this explanation in Hilchot Chanukah. We'll see when we get there how this same understanding of Hidur Mitzvah is relevant to the Rambam's psak about how to light Nerot Chanukah in a house with many residents. In Halacha Hey, the Rambam requires the Mohel to cut more than the usual amount in certain circumstances, when the baby still looks like he has an Orla even after it has been cut off. But he emphasizes that this requirement is purely rabbinic, based on the concern of Marit Ayin, and midoraita the Mila is entirely valid after the main part of the Orla has been cut. Halacha Vav. Osin kol tzorchei Mila b'Shabbat. Molin uforinu motzitzin, v'chozer al tzitzin ha-makvin af al-pi she-peresh, v'al tzitzin she-ein makvin kol zman shelo peresh, v'notein aleha ispilanit, aval machshirei mila einan dochin et ha-shabbat. Ketzad, harei shelo matzu sakin, ein osin sakin b'shabbat, v'lo mevi'in oto mimakom l'makom, v'afilu b'mavoi she-eino me'orav, ein mevi'in oto mechatzer l'chatzer. Ve'ein eruv de divrehem nidche mipnei hava'at ha-sakin, ho'il ve'afshar lahaviyo me'erev Shabbat. As we saw in the last perek, Mila on the eighth day overrides the Isser Malacha of Shabbat. This includes all aspects of Mila that we mentioned earlier, cutting the Orla, Priya, Mitzitza, and bandaging the wound. However, there is no such dispensation for preparations for the Mila, which can be done before Shabbat. These are known as machshirei mila, and not only may one not do melacha doraita for the sake of these preparations, he may not even violate a shvut, that is, an iser derabanan associated with Shabbat. For example, if one realizes on Shabbat that he has no knife with which to perform the brit milah that day, he may not do melacha to fashion a knife, nor bring one in a manner which constitutes a melacha of hotza'a or hachnasa, nor even bring a knife from one chatzer to another in a mavoi which lacks an eruv. The last example is an iser derabanan, as a mavoi is not a reshut harabim, and the entire institution of eruv is rabbinic. Nonetheless, even this less stringent isur is not set aside to make it possible to perform the brit milah, as bringing the knife could have been done before Shabbat. In Halacha Zayin, the Rambam brings further examples of machshirei milah, heating the water necessary to bathe the baby after the milah, grinding the spices used as medication, and preparing the bandage or the ointment administered to the baby after the milah. As all of these are considered critical for the baby's well-being, and all are machshirei milah, which can be done in advance, if any of them is not done before Shabbat, then the brit is delayed until Sunday. In Halacha Yud at the end of the perek, the Rambam clarifies that machshirei milah do not override Yom Tov either, as the Isser Malacha on Yom Tov, which is clearly Doraita, is stronger than the Isser Drabanan against doing a Shvut on Shabbat, and even a Shvut is not set aside for machshirei milah. The only exception is food-related melachot, which can be done on Yom Tov for the purpose of ochel nefesh, like grinding spices used to treat the baby. Since they can be used in food preparation too, the grinding of the spices is permitted on Yom Tov, even if the primary intent is to use them as part of the mila procedure. Halacha Chet. Malu et ha-katan b'Shabbat, v'achar kach nishpechu ha-chamin o nitpazru ha-samanin, o sin lo ha-kol b'Shabbat, mipnei she-sakana hilo, makom she-darkan l'harchitz et ha-katan, marchitzin oto b'Shabbat b'yom ha-mila, bein lifnei ha-mila, bein l'achar ha-mila, o ba-shlishi shel mila she-chal yot b'Shabbat, bein rechitzat kol gufo, bein rechitzat mila, bein b'chamin, shuchmu me-erev Shabbat, bein b'chamin she-mechamin lo b'Shabbat, mipnei she-sakana hilo. Once the mila has been performed, the baby has the status of a chole sheyesh bo sakana. If the water that had been prepared in advance spills at that point, then we may bathe him in water that was heated up on Shabbat. Chazal considered the third day from the brit mila to be a point in time where the baby's life is at risk if he has not bathed in hot water. Hence, if the mila took place on Thursday, so that Shabbat is the third day, and water was not heated in advance of Shabbat, then the baby may be bathed in water heated on Shabbat. The Rambam does not say explicitly in either of these cases that we may actually heat water on Shabbat for the baby, and it may be, as the Ravid says in a Hasaga here, that we may only use water heated by a non-Jew. The Rambam also does not address the following case. What if hot water was prepared in advance for a milah scheduled for Shabbat, and then the water spilled before the milah? Do we proceed with a milah because there was no negligence involved in preparing for it? Or do we hold off because proceeding with a milah will necessitate chilul Shabbat afterwards in order to obtain the hot water that the baby will need then? Rishonim debate this question, and poskim like the Shach and the Aruch HaShulchan conclude that we hold off with the brit until Sunday. In practice nowadays, the medical need for hot water is not considered as urgent as it was during the time of Chazal, and so it may not be necessary to have any prepared at all. Halacha Tet. Shachechu v'lo heviu sakin me'erev Shabbat, omrin lagoy lahavi sakin b'Shabbat, uvilvad shelo yavi oto derech rishut harabim. Klalo shel davar, kol davar sha'asiyato b'Shabbat asura aleinu mishum shvut, mutar lanu lamar lagoy lasot oto kidei lasot mitzvah bizmana. V'davar sha'asiyato b'Shabbat asura aleinu mishum melacha, asur lanu lamar lagoy lasoto b'Shabbat. We said before that one may not do even an Isser D'Rabbanan for the sake of Machshirei Milah, which could have been done before Shabbat. But if a non-Jew is around, we may ask him to perform an Isser D'Rabbanan for this purpose. This is the principle, which we will see soon in Hilchot Shabbat, of Shvut D'Shvut Bimkom Mitzvah. For a mitzvah purpose, one may ask a non-Jew to perform an Isser D'Rabbanan. The Rama in Hilchot Shabbat quotes an opinion that one may even ask a non-Jew to perform an Isser D'oraita for the purpose of a mitzvah. And while we are generally not lenient to rely on this opinion, the Mishnah Berurah rules that we may do so in order to perform a Brit Milah at its proper time on the eighth day.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.